It has been said that actions speak louder than words. And on Good Friday, what we hear is that the cross is ugly. Matthew 27 says this, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns. They put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand, and kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and they spit on him. And they took the reed and struck him on his head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put on his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him." We hear of the ugly actions. We hear of scapegoating, of mockery, of cruelty, of barbarism, and the violence. It's the ugliness of sin on full display. Not only the sin of individuals, but also of the mob of corrupted religion and politics, and those two coming together. Oppressive power, hypocrisy, and a system of domination. The cross is a picture of the depths of human depravity and the darkness of demonic oppression. And there's this Old Testament passage, comes from the book of Isaiah, that had become associated with Jesus, the time of his trial, which was a complete farce. And the prophecy in Isaiah says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." And when the gospel writers witnessed Jesus, when they witnessed his trial and his crucifixion, and they knew that verse, they applied it, they said, wow, this is a picture of Jesus at his trial, because in Matthew 27, it says that when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. And then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Isn't that so maddening? Isn't that so frustrating? There's no defense? Why would nobody say anything? Why doesn't someone say something? Why will no one stand up for Jesus? Who will stand up against this miscarriage of justice? How could this be happening? And maybe the ultimate question is, why does the voice of God seem to be silent? As Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He experiences a feeling of abandonment, of loneliness, of shame, of pain, and suffering. At the cross is where an innocent man is condemned to die, stripped of all dignity, executed by the state. And imagine the pain, not only the physical pain of all that happens there, but the pain of being falsely accused, of being completely misunderstood, to go unheard and undefended, for no one to stand up for you, to no one to properly stand up for what is right and what is good and what is just and what is supposed to happen. Think of all those, not only Jesus, but all those that he represented, those who followed him, those that he had invited, nobody else invited into their family, that Jesus invited into his. Those that he had healed and forgiven and validated, and they too watched on as no one would stand up for all that he was and all that he did and all that he represented. The injustice, the shame would be shared by all of them. And why does no one speak up? The voice of the victim goes unheard. Where are his friends and his disciples, mostly left out of cowardice or weakness? And why does no one speak up? But perhaps the worse the injustice is, the less that has to be said about it, because the ugliness speaks for itself. And the cross is the witness to the ultimate human ugliness, the murder of God. And so even Jesus remains silent, but actions speak louder than words. And on Good Friday, what we hear is the cross is beautiful. On the cross, we see God's answer to sin, violence, and suffering. It is not a distant and intellectual answer as much as it's a statement of God's solidarity with the world that he loves. It is a proclamation of his nearness, of his identifying with the suffering of this world. It is a declaration of sacrificial love. It is the promise that he will always be with us. The cross is the end of divine retaliation, where retribution ceases, and instead where Jesus endures those who mock him, beat him, and crucify him. It is where love triumphs over death and where sacrifice conquers violence. Brian Zahn says, the cross is the place where God makes it clear that there is nothing he will not do to bring us back to himself. It is the ultimate act of love, a love that does not stand apart from evil but enters into it, takes it upon himself, and overcomes it with love. The cross is beautiful because it demonstrates God's heart of love for this world. And so God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And this is how he showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Because greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And so in the most unexpected and upside-down, paradigm-shifting event, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Which effectively means, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Brian Zond again says, the cross is where God's love and human sin collide. It is where God's goodness is most profoundly revealed in the face of human evil. And so on Good Friday, we see that the cross simultaneously demonstrates the horror of human depravity and the depths of divine love. And so today, we come silently before the cross, perhaps, taking it in because actions speak louder than words, and Christ has died for our sins. Today, simply, I want to invite us to sit in that paradox, to sit in that tension, and to see and absorb the ugliness of the cross. And at the same time, to recognize and receive the beauty of the cross. And this is the question that I want to ask you as we silently today come and see the actions of human depravity and also the actions of divine love coming together. I want to ask you what it is that perhaps you need to leave at the cross today. It might be something that's really ugly. But today, this is one of the exercises that we're going to do. As we've read scripture and as we've sung some songs, and we're going to continue to sing in a minute, we're going to have a time of communion. And I'm actually going to offer that before we take communion, that you come to the cross, and just for a couple of moments before you do that, to ponder what do you need to leave at the cross. So you'll find in the pocket in the chair in front of you, there's a little slip of paper, and there should be a pen hanging there as well. And in just a couple of minutes, we're going to invite you to take a quiet moment as you're seated there and to use that slip of paper to write a confession. maybe there's a sin, maybe there's something even bubbling up in you right now as we talk about Jesus paying it all for us, Jesus forgiving our sin that you're already thinking of. Maybe there's a weight, maybe there's a heavy burden. And again, perhaps it's really ugly. Perhaps you don't like to think about it. Perhaps you really don't want to write it down. But today, before you and God, I would offer you to write something. Maybe it's a word that represents what that is for you, or a phrase, or a sentence. And in a few moments, we'll invite you to come and bring those confessions to the cross, and we have a basket here, and I want to invite you symbolically to take that and to leave it at the cross. Because even if it's ugly, even if it's so terrible, we need to know today that this is where it belongs. And we bring these things and we leave them at the foot of the cross. We surrender them to Jesus. Our sins, our weights, our burdens, our confessions. This is where they belong, even if they are so ugly. The way that we deal with them is we bring them to the cross. And then, after you've come to the cross, we'll invite you to come over here. We'll have a station. We'll have a number of people who are ready to serve you communion. And in communion, we have these powerful symbols, these symbols, the bread that is the symbol of the body of Christ that was given for you. The body of Christ that he was willing to endure all of these tortures, all of this horrible ugliness put on him in order to show his life and his gift to us. And we'll take the cup, which is representative of the blood of Jesus, to drink it and to be reminded of the forgiveness of sin, to be reminded that the ugliness that we leave at the cross, Jesus absorbs, and that as we give those things to him, he gives us grace. So in a moment, again, we'll have some music playing, and we're going to ask you if you would use this aisle on the far side, even if you're on this side, to come around the back and to come up to the front and to leave your confessions, your weights and your burdens here at the foot of the cross, and then to come over here and to receive all the grace that God has given you in these powerful, powerful symbols of Jesus Christ. Matthew 26 talks about Jesus talking about when he had his last supper with his disciples before he was crucified, and this is the pattern that we follow as Christians as we take communion and we're reminded of it. And it says that while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." And then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood for the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And when I read that, and if I read about communion for the first time, and I hadn't been doing it for most of my life in church to the point where it became kind of normal, and if I heard this for the first time, and you hear somebody saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, and drink this is my blood," do you know what you might say to that if you weren't familiar with it? You might say, "That is disgusting. That's really ugly, isn't it? Eat, this is my body, drink, this is my blood." You would say, "No, of course, we don't do that. That's such an ugly picture." And of course, it's supposed to be. That's the point. It's supposed to be ugly. It's supposed to represent the ugliness of the cross and the ugliness of everything Jesus endured and the ugliness even of sin. And yet the depths of divine love and sacrifice that also make it so beautiful. Somebody described to me their experience recently eating the bread in communion, and they sort of giggled because they said, "I have to confess, I thought it was delicious. And I didn't know if I was supposed to." You're supposed to. It's so ugly, and yet it's so beautiful. It's even delicious. Oh, forgiveness and grace, it's so delicious, and it's so nourishing, and it's so wonderful. And to drink blood, it's so ugly, and yet it's so refreshing to quench your thirst with the forgiveness of your sins and redemption and freedom to walk forward in your life. And so this is what we come to on Good Friday. Actions speak louder than words. The cross is ugly, and yet the cross is so beautiful. So I'm going to pray again, if you would come around and use this aisle to leave your confessions and your burdens here at the cross, come over. And as you give those burdens to Jesus, he gives you his grace and forgiveness. You can take those elements back to your seat. And when you're ready, eat and take the body of Christ and drink the blood, the forgiveness of sins, and ingest and digest those. And we'll continue to sing. If today you can't come forward and you're sitting somewhere out there, we do have someone that would love to come and serve you. So feel free to stay in your seat and just maybe put a hand up and wave them down, and we'll have someone from the back come and serve you. We would be honored to do that. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cross, the ugliness that was endured there, and for the beauty of your love displayed there. Thank you for your sacrificial love. Thank you for our Savior Jesus, who gave his life for us. Thank you for his body given for us. Thank you for the blood that was shed, offering us grace and forgiveness. As you receive our confessions today, we pray that we may receive your forgiveness, and that you would give us strength to follow in the steps of Jesus, to forgive those who have wronged us, and to offer the beauty of your love to the world around us. Thank you for Jesus and all that he has done for us. It's in his name that we pray.